number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4, as we stand to our feet, read this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, Nehemiah chapter number 4, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubble which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we were not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 14. Right in the middle of the verse, it says, Be ye not afraid of them, but then it says, Remember the Lord. And I want to preach on that thought tonight. Remember the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for this time that we've had to read thy word. And I pray that you'll be with us now as we look into it. Lord, prepare us for what we need to hear. And Lord, I pray that you'll use this story of Nehemiah and the walls being rebuilt to encourage us in this day, in this hour. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be strengthened to carry out the work you have for us to do. And we'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. May Christ be exalted in this place tonight for sure and always. And we'll give you the glory. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Nehemiah has the people working diligently on rebuilding the wall. If you'll remember, his burden began when his brother and the men of Judah came with a report of the condition of the walls in Jerusalem. And he goes before the king. He's burdened and he requests leave. He says that I may build it, and he wants to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The king gives him leaves with some letters in his hand to help him along the way. And he goes and he views in the midst of the night, he views the ruins of the walls of Jerusalem. And then the next day he reveals his burden or his vision to build the walls again. And the people responded by saying, let us rise up and build. And Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they all laughed and they scorned and they made fun of Nehemiah, and they made fun of the people. But the people came together in chapter number 3, we read, to get the job done. Now they're in the midst of the work and they're facing some difficulties. And I want us to look tonight, because I want us to understand that any work that's done for the Lord is going to face strong opposition. There's going to be people that's going to battle against it. There's going to be people that's going to fight against it. There's going to be lots of things said about it. But I want us to look at this story tonight, and with the help of the Lord, I hope that we'll gain some strength and encouragement through the Word of God. I want you to see, first of all, the ranging opposition. The ranging opposition. Boy, they had opposition from everywhere. It wasn't just one or two, but we find that there was opposition all around. As a matter of fact, I want you to look with me. We see, first of all, opposition from the enemy. The Bible teaches us that the enemy began by ridiculing Nehemiah and the people. In verse number 1, the Bible says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So we see that Sanballat mocks the Jews, doesn't he? In verse number 2, it says, he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and he said, what do these feeble Jews? Can you just imagine? You've heard people mock the things of God, the Word of God, and the work of God. And he's there, and he's got his group of people over here. Sanballat has his group of people, and he says, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? In other words, are they going to build up a wall? Are they scaredy cats? Are they afraid of us? Are they afraid of what might happen? Will they sacrifice? In other words, you remember the Jews had their times of sacrifice, and they're wanting to get back to the days where they honor God, because they knew that God was honored through those sacrifices. And here's Sanballat, and he's making fun because the people of God want to get back to doing for God what God put them here to do. And then they said, will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? In other words, look at all the mess. And look at all, do they think they can rebuild the walls? So we find that Sanballat was mocking. And Tobiah was mimicking this. Verse number 3. Notice what he says. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Now, you know, there's always those people, they have the main guy, the main character, the leader. He's the one. And then he always has his little sidekick there by side. You know what I'm talking about? And he's the one that's always there. And he's the one that every now and then will step out from behind the main leader, and he'll say, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? That's what's going on here. Here's Sanballat, and he's saying, look at them, what are they going to do? Are they going to build this wall up out of the rubbish? Are they scaredy cats? Are they afraid of us? What do these feeble Jews? Look at them, they've been here for years. They've been here for many, many years, and the work's not been done. What are they trying to prove? Who are they? What are they going to do? Build it up out of this heap of garbage that's on the ground? And then here steps out little old Tobiah, and he steps out and says, yeah, and when they build it, when a fox runs against it, it'll just knock it over, you know? I mean, there's always somebody like that, isn't there? And so here's these enemies, and here's the opposition to the children of Israel. And so many times people quit serving the Lord because of being ridiculed, because of being made fun of. There's a lot of people that are out of church tonight because they didn't want to put up with the ridicule that maybe their friends or their family, you know, somebody gets saved and maybe just imagine with me that they work with a bunch of men and they go in and they tell people, I got my heart right with God last night. And then, of course, there's always going to be those men that are rebel rousers and they're going to start making fun. Oh, we got a preacher in the crowd now. Now, if you've ever been on any kind of a work site, you know what I'm talking about. There's a preacher in the crowd now. Oh, we got a reverend among us. The Holy One. And you know, the guy's trying to do his best, but then a lot of times he gets out because of the ridicule, and it's hard to take it sometimes. It's hard to deal with that sometimes. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of times people think it's just not worth it. I can't take listening to what's being said. So they just get out of it. So we see the ridicule, this opposition from the enemy. Then we see that the enemy decides when the ridicule don't work, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, that they're going to fight. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So Sanballat and Tobiah and the others heard that the walls were made up, and boy, it made them mad. They thought, what right are these guys doing? Why haven't they listened to us? Why haven't they thrown in the towel? You notice what the Bible says in verse number 6, for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah had shared his vision, his burden that God had given him, and there was a people that bought into that, and they said, we're going to do the work. We're not going to let the ridicule stop us. So they kept on working, they kept on going at it. And these enemies, these opposition from the enemy just began to build. And boy, they heard that the breaches began to be stopped up. In other words, all the openings were beginning to be closed. And so Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, they all decided to come together and they're going to fight against Jerusalem. They joined forces and fight against Jerusalem because these forces were threatened by the work. You want to know why they didn't want the walls rebuilt? Because they knew that they were going to lose hold of the area. You have to remember, the children of Israel have been in captivity. These people have had free reign of the land for quite some time, but the land didn't belong to them. It belonged to God's people. It belonged to the Israelites. It belonged to the children of Judah and the children of Israel, and we find that they've come back to put together the wall and to rebuild the city. And the temple's already been restored and rebuilt and restored. But now they're rebuilding the walls. And these enemies thought they're not going to be able to overcome the land. See, as long as there were no walls, they were strong enough they could go in and fight the children of Israel and win. They knew that they could destroy it at any time. But now they're getting a stronghold and they're getting things built up and fortified. And they didn't want that to happen. Let me tell you tonight. You want to know why the enemy doesn't want to see us rise up and do what's right? Because they're afraid they're going to lose their hold on society. You want to know why the evolution crowd doesn't want us given the truth about creation? You want to know why our universities and our professors don't want to give in that there's probably more fact to creation than there is to evolution? You want to know why? Because they're afraid they're going to lose grip on our young people. Because our young people are smart enough that they just get a little bit of the truth, they'll run with it, and they're going to find out. God made us. But right now, you know, we're made fun of for things like that. We're laughed at and mocked and ridiculed. We're going to have a mind to work. We're going to have a mind to stand up for what's right. And the opposition from the enemies was real. There was the ridicule, and then they decided they want to fight. But not only was the opposition from the enemy, I want you to see there was opposition from within. Verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. And there's so much and there's much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. They're out building, they're there working, but there's a lot of garbage around. And discouragement begins to set in. And the work is going well, but weariness is taking hold. Now look, you can tell these people have gotten lazy, because it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall altogether. But what's happened is they've been here for years doing nothing, laying around, not doing any kind of work like this. And the Bible says, and Judah said, this is their own people. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed. In other words, we're not strong enough to get it done. And this is what I see a lot of times in churches. Well, it's just too much for us to do. You know? Well, it costs too much. It's too much effort. We just don't have the workers. We just don't have this. We just don't have that. That's the opposition from within. When God gives us something to do, dear friend, God's going to give us the resources, and God's going to give us the strength, and God's going to give us the ability, and we just have to do what it is God wants us to do. There was opposition from within, and then opposition from without. Now, this is different than the enemies, because these were still Jewish people, and we see this in verse number 11 and verse number 12, and our adversaries said, there was a group of Jews that didn't want this to happen. There was people that bought in, if you will, to Nehemiah's vision and Nehemiah's burden. But there was also that group that just didn't want to do part of the work. You remember there's those that wouldn't put their hands to the work? Well, look at this, verse number 11. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. So what happened was, a lot of these people that were within, even probably some of the workers, they were listening to the enemies from without, and they were saying, the enemy was saying, they're not going to know what hit them when we come and attack them. They're not going to know what's happened to them until we lay the sword to them. And they began to listen to that, and that's what they said. They said, Nehemiah says, they said to me 10 times. They said to me 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. And these Jews, they were not the enemy, but they didn't want to put forth the effort. They didn't want to work. And so we find opposition from without with their own people. And you know what? We take a strong stand on the Bible around here. We have standards, and we have certain things that we just don't, we don't waver on it. And I've had people, I'm talking about people from our own ranks, say you got to give in a little bit. You got to let down. We've watched as certain denominations have lowered the standards over the years. And they're saying the only way it can be done. And I look at the crowd tonight and I realize that crowd's low. We have a lot of people, but I want to tell you something. I don't want to lower the standard to gain a crowd. I don't want to see that happen. I want to see us have a church that's strong, that's mighty in the Lord. And there's going to be opposition from without. Now, we're going to have opposition from within. Look, I've already heard people say, we can't do it. It can't happen. You know, we're just in a rough neighborhood, and it's not going to be easy. There's no doubt about it. If it were, then it would have already happened, right? But it's going to be a family at a time and a soul at a time and one child, 8-year-old little girl at a time. It's going to be one thing at a time happening, and before you know it, it'll begin to add up, and it'll begin to build and begin to see it. And then what's going to happen is we're going to finally start having families that are going to be strong and have a firm foundation, and they're going to grow in the Lord, and you're going to see families mended, and you're going to see lives built upon a solid foundation. And before you know it, something happens. That's what it's all about. But you're going to have opposition, and it's going to be a ranging opposition. The enemy's not going to like it. Look. The devil's crowd would just soon us close up shop. Now the devil's not, he don't care if we don't close up as long as he can get control, but we're not going to give him control. But then there's going to be opposition from within. From people within. There is people that's in this congregation, that's members of this church, that just don't think it can happen. And that's every church. Look, it's no different. You say, am I one of them? I don't think you're one of them. If you have to ask that question, but if you're sitting there thinking, well, that really can happen. You know, we'll never see it the way it once was. Well, then you are one of them. But you know what? There's some of us that get influenced by people. I'll never forget the church I grew up in. Just some issues come up. And I've always, look now, when I'm one that I can go with the flow for the most part, you know. It's just, I'm pretty laid back when it comes to certain things. But, buddy, when I'm convicted about something, and I believe the Bible's strong on something, then I get real strong about it. And I'll never forget, I was talking to a deacon. Here I was, 19-year-old, been saved a year, 19-year-old, discussing the issue of certain kinds of music in the church. And he was making his argument, and I mean, I just wouldn't back down. You know, I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't trying to be ugly. But I said, you know, we don't need worldly music. I don't want music that sounds like the world's music coming in. We don't have to grow a church on worldly influence. We need Bible influence. And he said, well, yeah, but, you know, I've talked to people that go to other churches, and this is what they're doing. And I said, we don't have to do what they're doing. We have to do what God's Word says for us to do. I've been a rebel all along, you know. I've been one of those hard people to get along with all my life. I just didn't realize how hard I was to get along with. I've always believed we ought to have standards and convictions and ideals. There's going to be a ranging opposition. Nehemiah, they faced look, it wasn't just one or two that was opposing them, was it? There was a group of people. People from outside, people from the inside, people that was just kind of there, their own group. That's the ranging opposition. But I want you to notice the response to the opposition. The response. I want you to go back, and I want us to look at verse number 4 as we read about the response to the enemy's ridicule. The Bible teaches us in first 3 verses that Sanballat and Tobiah are there. They're laughing, mocking, making fun of. Saying that the foxes, if a fox hit it, it would knock the wall down. And immediately, Nehemiah's response is to talk to God. And he says in verse number 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Sometimes we give in and we say it's just not worth it. But Nehemiah said, the work is worth it. And they turned to God. And he said, hear, O our God. He prayed and worked. We see this prayer and this work as it's going on. And he knew that people might be influenced by what was being said. So he turned to God and he said, God, I want you to bring a reproach upon them. And don't blot out their sins and don't forgive them, but I want you to punish them for what they're doing. You ever pray for punishment for somebody? I'm telling you, sometimes I don't think that it's such a wrong idea. If that's what it takes for God to protect his people. So we see the prayer and working. Then to the enemy's threat of fight, we see prayer and watchfulness. Verse number 9, the Bible says, nevertheless, we made our prayer. You remember what was going on here? The Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, Ammonites, Ashdodites, they all decided they were going to join forces together and they're going to fight against Jerusalem. So what'd they do? They prayed and watched. The Bible says, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So what's going on? They realized that that there was an enemy, and they realized the enemy wanted to fight. But they said, look, we don't have time to fight. We got a work to do. We're not coming down from the wall. We've got a wall to build, and we're not going to fight you. We're going to pray to God. And God's going to take care of you. And so what they did, they began to pray and watch. The Bible teaches us that they prayed and they set a watch. And sometimes that's what we have to do. You know, a lot of churches just want to get involved in fights. I don't get involved in all this political mumbo jumbo. I tell you, we got to work greater than the politics. And we got to work greater than all the isms and schisms that are out there. We've got the greatest work in all the world to do, and that's the work of God. And what we need to do is be giving ourselves to prayer and work and prayer and watchfulness. Let God accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Then I want you to see the response to the discouragement from within and from without. The Bible says, verse number 13, therefore said I, Nehemiah, said I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, their bows. Nehemiah put a plan together and then put it to action. You know, when with no direction comes weariness. If you're going to do something, if you're going to do a work, there's got to be a plan. You know? Now, could you imagine? Can you imagine going out and say, we're going to build a house with no plans? I mean, nothing. That would be wearisome, wouldn't it? Because you wouldn't know where to start. You wouldn't know what to do. You wouldn't know step by step. How long is this wall going to be? How high is this wall going to be? What's this? What's, you know? So Nehemiah says, I've got a plan. And he put this plan to action. He gave this plan, and sometimes if you lose sight of what we're trying to finish, you're going to grow discouraged. And he showed them, this is what we're here for. And this is the plan that we're to take. And this is what needs to be done. This has to happen. With all the work going on, when it's going very well sometimes, we're not to grow weary in well-doing. We may get tired. Others may say it can't be done. Others will say, not here, not now. But we need to stick to the plan. And by the way, God's given us a blueprint of everything that we need to do in our lives. And this is our plan of action. It tells us how to fight the enemy. It tells us how to win the battles. It tells us how to get the job done. It tells us the rewards when we do get the job done. Everything we need is right here in God's Word. That's why we're a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. Because we believe that this is God's Word for us. And that every principle we need in our life stems from God's precious Holy Word. I don't need 7 guidelines to personal happiness. I don't need all these purpose-driven things. And you say, what are you talking? You know, I don't know that this is true. I'm going to find it out. You know, you've not heard a lot about the purpose-driven life lately. And somebody told me that Mr. Warren recanted on everything. And he said, all it's done is build a shallow churches all across America. Now, somebody told me that that's what he said. That'd be quite amazing, wouldn't it? He's a millionaire now, but you think about that. That'd be hard to stand up and say something like that. I hope he said it, because that's exactly the truth of the matter. It was a man-driven thing, not a Christ-driven, Christ-honoring ministry. But you see, we have what we need. We have the book. The book! To build what God's given us to build. And people may say it can't happen now. And sometimes we may grow weary in well-doing. And sometimes we may lose sight of what we're trying to finish. And discouragement may set in. But we need to stick to the plan that God has given to us. Number two, we see that they kept on working on the wall. This was their response. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass from that time forth, the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built it on the wall, and they which bare the burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me." There were some working. There were some guarding. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, working for the Lord. And sometimes that's just how the work has to get done. We have to have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. But dear friend, we must keep up our guard, and we must keep working for the Lord, and we have to guard against the enemy. The enemy's real. And the third part of his plan was to keep the people together. Verse 19, he says, "I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we're separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which follow me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing." The people stayed within the boundaries, but they were working on the wall. Danger lurked on the outside. You can just imagine enemies all around. And when we're where God wants us to be, God will protect us. You know, if you're doing God's will and God's work with your life, God will protect you. That doesn't mean that you won't get sick. It doesn't mean that certain things won't happen. But God's going to take care of us. God's going to watch over us. And we see what was going on here. We see that they were busy doing this work. And the Bible teaches us that while there were many in different places, that there was a man with a trumpet right there and says, "When trouble arises, don't worry. I'll let you know. When the trumpet sounds, come together." And see, that's what we do. We go out into this world. But we come in and we sound the trumpet, don't we? And we tell what we need to understand to face life and to face realities. And we have these walls. And somebody says, you know, there's too many standards or too many guidelines in God's Word. There's too many thou shalt not. But do you realize every one of them is for protection? It's for protection. We've got a fence around our backyard. In that fence is a dog. And that dog's not a vicious dog, I'm telling you. I don't think he would hurt anybody. I don't think he would. Maybe he would if somebody was attacking one of us because, you know, they're possessive. But you know that fence is not there for us to protect what's on the outside of it. We're protecting what's on the inside of it. And that's why we have standards. The standards are there to protect us. I have been criticized for years because of certain standards. Every church I pastored, not this church. Standards. We have certain guidelines. Our young ladies have to wear certain things and our young men have to wear certain things. when we go on activities, when we go on events, there's certain ways that they're going to dress. And that standard's not there just for us to rule over them. It's to protect them and their witness and their testimony. That's what it's all about. We're not trying to lord over their life. We're just trying to put something in their lives to help them to understand they can be different and it's all right. Now look, I don't think you have to go around dressed in potato sacks. You know? And I know some churches that like that, but if that's what that's up to them. That's that church. I believe you can look right and look nice and hold to the standards. But standards are there for protection. When you go down the road, there's lines on that road. There's a reason there's lines on that road. You go across that line and you're in danger. It's a standard. There's a standard to building a house. Certain guidelines that have to be followed. You realize in walls, in stud houses, that in frame houses, that there are studs that are put up 16 inches apart? Why? So you'll know where to drive a nail. So you'll know what to do when it's covered with sheetrock and you have to do something, you'll know where these things are. It's a standard. Now what if one was 16 and one was 38? That would be a terribly built house, would it not? They're guidelines. That's what it's all about. We have to be willing to be taught the truth and to understand that there is a high road that Christians are to take and that God wants us to take. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. He was showing them the high road. Don't listen to the world. Listen to the Lord. Don't give in to the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and the Arabians. And don't give in to their philosophies and their ideals. Listen to God. God's going to take care of us. That's what we have to understand. That's the response to the raging opposition. But then this is the gist of it all. Verse number 14, he says, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. I believe the key verse to this whole chapter is this. Remember the Lord. Because when we remember the Lord, we'll not fear what man can do. When we remember the Lord, then we'll have faith in Him, for He's great and terrible, and He's able to take care of the enemy. When we remember the Lord, we'll fight a good fight. For our brethren, for our sons, our daughters, for our wives and our houses. That's what he said. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Look, remember the Lord tonight, and we'll not let down on the standards. We'll not let things creep into the church. We'll not throw out, we'll not throw the children out with the wash, but we're going to fight for them. We're going to fight for this precious place, and we're going to fight for our sons, our daughters, our wives, our husband, our children. We're going to fight for these things because they're precious to us. But then I want you to notice what he said in verse number 20. I love this. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. And then he says, our God shall fight for us. So when you're doing the work of God and you're fighting for Him, He's going to fight for you. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses, are they worth fighting for? Are they worth fighting for? I believe they are. And I believe we have to be willing to fight for it. Then we'll, not only when we remember the Lord, will we fight a good fight, we'll finish our course. One thing, when you keep your eyes, if you get your eyes on the world, you'll quit. If you listen to the wisdom of the world, you'll quit. But you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll finish the course. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul came down to the end of his life and he said, I have fought a good fight. There's too many that are busy looking around and thinking of everything but the Lord. And when we see Him, all of our fears are dispelled. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. There's a great work to do. And if there's a great work to do, there's going to be opposition. The enemy, within, without. What do? We respond by praying, by working, by watching, and by trusting the Lord. And we remember the Lord. He'll take care of us. Let me ask you something. Is there work to do here, right here, in this location, in your life, in your family, in your home, in the life of our church, in the life of our community? Is there a work that needs to be done for the Lord? Is there work? I certainly hope you think there is. I want to tell you something. God's put us here to do a work. And there's going to be opposition. But we must pray and trust and watch and work and keep our eyes on the Lord. Remember the Lord. You know what Nehemiah was saying? We've been in captivity for a long time. Many of you have never been in this land before. But you've heard. You've heard the stories that Mom and Dad used to tell us when we sit on our knees about the good hand of God upon us. You've heard how God delivered His people through a Red Sea and across the Jordan River. How that God destroyed the enemy. You've heard how God blessed His people every time they were in the presence of the ark. You've heard how that when these people, when God's people were doing for Him what He wanted them to do, how that His hand was upon them. You've heard these things. Now remember the Lord. And sometimes I think we just need to remember what God's promised us. We need to remember the Lord. Was it not the Lord that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Was it not the Lord that said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world? Remember that. Was it not the Lord that gave us the words that there's a fight that's worth fighting? Was it not the Lord that promised us that He would provide every need along the way? People let us down and people discourage us, but God will always be right and true. Remember the Lord. And that's what we have to do tonight. There's a work to do. And the only way we can get it done is not by getting our eyes on everything around us, but getting our eyes on Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for loving us, and we thank You for this time You've given to us. Thank You for Your precious word. I ask You, Lord, to have Your will and way as we come to this time to respond to Thy word.